But even just the toileting, I love that you brought up that piece about, ew, stinky, oh, gross. Like, you know, a lot of parents are so expressive negatively about changing diapers. It's not the most pleasant job in parenting. I grant you that. But exactly what you just said. Why would they want to rush to tell us that the poo's coming after we've had 2 whole years of telling them how gross and stinky their poo is?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the We Are the Village Parenting Podcast.
Hi, my name is Serena, mother to 2 little ones.
And hi, I'm Lisa, also known as the Singing Amma. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma.
In this podcast, I am learning to practice gentle, attachment-focused parenting. Amma Lisa is here to teach us why it's vital to our children's development and well-being.
And I come to the village with a background in early childhood education. I have been coaching and supporting parents along their parenting journeys for over 35 years. Together, we explore some easy-to-implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
We invite you to grab your latte
or your tea
and come sit around the proverbial ancient fire with us each week
when we come together to have a conversation where we'll be keeping it real, keeping it raw, right here with you in the wonderful world of all things parenting. Hello, hello. It's Amma Lisa, the Singing Amma. And I will read to you today a column from my original Fishbowl magazine column series. And this column is entitled Toileting Time. And after I'm done, we'll be joined by Mama Serena and we'll take a deeper look at this particular topic of interest. Dear Singing Amma, we are planning on getting our little guy a potty as he is a fabulous mimicker and would likely love to just sit on his own seat in the bathroom. What suggestions do you have for potty introduction? Signed, Ready to Go, Parents. Dear Ready Already, I love the fabulous point suggested in your query that mimicking is an integral key to mastering any new ability a child will undertake, toileting included. I love, too, that you have not used the phrase toilet training. I have a serious dislike for that terminology because, in reality, children are not in need of training. Our young begin as enthusiastic little beings, eager to learn simply by watching and imitating. Let us use their innate willingness by offering opportunities in which that learning can occur. Bringing your little one into the bathroom with you is an obvious, though surprisingly overlooked, first step. Observing parents using the toilet is a hugely informative process for young humans. They will begin to see and come to understand that our bodily elimination functions in our modern culture happen on a toilet. A potty can be introduced at any time, even much earlier than a child shows readiness, by simply placing it in the bathroom and saying, "This is where you get to sit when the pee and poo is coming." Or the pee or poo, they might not both come together. Make it sound fun and exciting, but not like pressure. Pressure, or an attitude of training, can cause this whole process to backfire and become a power struggle. When you use the toilet, invite them to sit on theirs. Remember, if you pose anything as a question, do you want to sit on your potty now? you actually need to respect either answer. Instead, simply suggest, "You could sit on your potty while I sit on mine." Then, if they choose not to, it's not a battle of wills. It's just a choice in the moment. This whole early part of the process can be as much about developing trust and comfort as it is about learning bodily control and what those internal body sensations mean. From infancy, a child will, quote, tell with body and facial expressions long before they can understand or verbalize their need. There is a mind-body connection that has to develop physiologically and intellectually before a child can tell when they need to go, with enough time to get there. When you notice a tell, as in a body or facial expression, without the words, you can say, it looks like the pee is coming. Let's get you to the potty so the pee can go in the potty. If it doesn't work out every time, and it won't, keep your responses light, informative, and always positive. Sometimes pee comes before we think it will, while we are learning to understand our bodies. Maybe next time. Another consideration is to have the potty in the room you spend the most time in throughout the day. That way it is closer and success will be more frequently achieved. You could move it there when the child is actually using the potty more regularly. As with everything in the world of toileting, success begets success. All right, Mama Serena. Just curious, how are you doing with your 2-year-old?
I'm trying. Every day I'm trying. For the last 3 weeks, she has been wearing her big girl panties, and I've been giving her the option to put on her underwear or a diaper, and she's choosing the underwear. So she has been doing that for the last 3 weeks, and not much progress, but she tries.
Okay. So I'm curious why you started offering underpants. I'm also, let's look at what was laid out in the column. Where is the potty? How much has it been used, even just in sort of play or, you know, mimicking you over the last few months or whatever like that? And I know you've also just moved and she has a new sibling. So I also want to put in here, if you have, and I don't know whether you did or not, Serena, but if you had some toileting, developing habits before your move or before the new baby arrived, I want all of you parents out there to know that those developing habits could backslide after big changes like that. So right after a move and right after a new baby, I'm curious why that's happening now.
Yeah. Well, we have a funny relationship, I guess, with the toilet. When Andrea was younger, I read an article about getting them to use the potty like super quick. So since she's been 8 months, I've been putting her on the potty as a routine. Sometimes we'd wake up, go sit on the potty together. And before, she used to always make her bowel movement in the morning. So we would wake up, go on the potty together, and she would consistently do her bowel movement. Then things kind of changed. And I knew it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't trying to get her out of Pampers, but I was just trying to get her used to the toilet, I guess. So we would sit down together. She'd consistently make a bowel movement. Then it kind of regressed after that. And maybe I wasn't consistent. Maybe it was because I went back to work and I knew it wasn't happening when she was getting taken care of. Mm-hmm. So we stopped for a while. And now I notice when she's going to make a bowel movement. So I'll say, let's go to the bathroom. And she'll usually come to the bathroom and she sits on the toilet. So we've had her little training potty since, or sorry, not training potty, right. practice potty.
Since her potty, her size. Yeah.
Since she was 8 months and it's been in the bathroom.
Okay. All right. So that's a familiar item. That's what I wanted to discover. When, just picking up on a couple things there, when you notice she's making the looks or the body motions or whatever it is where you're noticing that a bowel movement is coming, one of the things that can be really helpful, I don't know what you're saying to her, what you just said to us is, let's go to the bathroom. It can be really helpful to say, oh, it looks like the poo might be coming. Whatever you call it, if it's a bowel movement, if it's poo, usually people call it poo, you know, and I'm a really strong believer that we just got to call things what they are, you know, not having sort of playful names for things like poo and pee. Poo and pee are playful names from bowel movement and urine, but it's important because I just want to put this in here. Our genitalia is where our bowel movements, our pee, come from, that private area of our bodies. Keep in mind, parents, that if you have real power struggles with your children around toileting, that's the area of their bodies that will eventually become the sexual areas of their bodies. So we want to be careful what kind of information we're putting out there to them. We want to label the body parts appropriately, a penis or a vagina, you know, an anus, a bum, whatever. But we want to be careful that we don't associate a lot of negative, have a lot of negative associations around toileting, because it connects, those areas of our body connect to our sexuality when we're older. And that's, so anyway, that was a little byproduct of the conversation, but I really needed to put that in there because most parents never think about that. They're just so desperate to get their babies and their children out of diapers. So what I was starting to say was to say to her, it looks like the poo's coming. Let's go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And just by giving her that little bit of information is, you know, also you can say, sometimes there's a sensation in your body that you can feel and you go, oh, that means the poo's coming. And you could even describe to her, what I see is your body does this kind of shape, or your face makes an expression, you know, whatever you're seeing. You can say, I can notice because I see these things. And inside your body, you might be able to notice because you'll feel a pressure, or you'll feel full, or you'll, you know, some sensation. And so just verbalizing a little bit around it can help her mind-body connection actually, you know, put the connections together. So that's great that you're noticing. That's,
yeah, awesome. She runs into a corner to hide.
Okay. Yeah. That's often very common. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I notice that you run into a corner to hide when you feel the poo coming. And that's so good because that means that you know that there's something happening in your body. And you probably, you probably even know what that something is. So instead of running into a corner, let's go run into the bathroom. And mommy can come with you. And soon you'll probably want to go and run into the bathroom by yourself and then tell me and say, mommy, the poo came in the potty. Mm-hmm. And you can tell me, and it'll be so exciting when you do that. But for now, we'll go in together. And for now, I can help you to remember that that's what you do when you feel that sensation. So it's like supporting all the way.
Yeah. And I think a big part of potty, Train. What was it?
Toileting.
Toileting.
Yeah. Good. Thanks for the catch.
I think a big part of that is also them just being ready and being
100,000%.
Yeah.
100,000%. So that's another reason. That's why I asked, what has you offer her diaper or underpants at this point? What initiated you making that offer in the mornings?
I'm tired of buying Pampers.
Yeah. You're tired of buying diapers. Okay. So that is your readiness.
Yes. That is,
and
my
it's
readiness.
Not necessarily hers. And no. I want to reiterate, if you try to push this river, parents, mm-hmm. you may suffer longer. Mm-hmm. It can backfire on you. So how's it going? There she is. She's choosing underpants. I mean, heck, let's imagine that they probably feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And she gets to feel like a big girl and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's summertime and I feel like a pamper, and she's just bigger now. So she makes a lot of pee at one time, and mm-hmm. just for her own comfort to, because if I set a timer and say every 20 minutes, we're going to go on the potty or notice how she's drinking or how she's acting. If I'm there watching her and I'll say, let's go to the pot.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
I do it because I think it's more comfortable for her to be in underwear and just to be reminded, let's go to the potty and let it out.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you can do that mm-hmm. if you have the time and the energy. And I know that you have her in grandma care, child care sometimes during mm-hmm. the week.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that it's not consistent.
Well, grandma tries to, because grandma okay. just potty trained the other two kids, and
I know, it's the unlearning.
It is the unlearning. She toileted. Toileting. The other two just started using the potty.
Great. Okay. So yeah, if you have a support system and people are happily reminding to let's go on the potty quick, let's go sit on the potty. That's okay. That's okay. The readiness piece, you know, people often want their children out of diapers when they're two. Children often aren't quite ready until they're three, and sometimes, especially with boys, because their physiological differences, it's closer to four sometimes. It's challenging.
Yeah.
For parents, especially now when most everybody is using disposable diapers, which I could do a whole conversation about. And I encourage you not to use on the podcast the word because some people might be using a different brand. We don't want to give brand support yes. here, but also some people are using cloth.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, and this may be a really good vote for using cloth diapers, families out there listening. And I'm not trying to toot our own horn here, but I will tell you that my daughter was, oh gosh, just over a year old. I know when she stopped using them day and night, but using the daytime, I think she was just over a year old when she stopped wanting to use a diaper in the daytime. When she was 19 months old, I have to backtrack to give you some of her language. When I would change her diaper, and I encourage you all to do this, tell your child, your infant, your newborn, your baby of any age, what you're doing to their body when you do things to their body. It's part of having like the body autonomy awareness as they get older. So I would say, let's get a fresh diaper. I also avoid the words clean and dirty, because I don't know, dirty diaper and stinky. Like, avoid talking about how gross that poo diaper is and how stinky it is, because that's part of them. It's part of their body. It's part of what came out of their body. So, wow, that was a big poo. You know, you can make an expression about it, but try not to use derogatory facial expressions and words around changing those diapers. So let's go get a fresh diaper, I would say. She was in cloth diapers. So I changed her way more often than parents who are using disposables, because you can get away with not changing very often. They absorb all that moisture. The cloth diapers, the moisture is just there. So I changed her often. She could feel when the diaper was wet, right? So then I would change her more often. Let's go get a fresh diaper. So I'd lay her down and I'd say, all right, mama's going to undo the snaps on your sleeper. Let's get your legs out. Now I'm going to lift your legs up, bum up, pull the diaper out, put a fresh diaper in, bum down. Let's do the diaper up. Let's get your legs back in those holes, the leg spots and do your sleeper back up. Like, this is a very young baby, right? But always like bum up and then bum down, as I would do the whole change. And I described to her what I'm doing. When she was 19 months old, she said to me, "No thanks, bum down, night, night." So that was a sentence meaning, "No thanks, I don't want a diaper for the nighttime." She'd already been out of daytime diapers for, I don't remember how many months, but it had been a while. It might have been 4 or 5. It might have been 6. I can't remember. But I know that she was 19 months. "No thanks, bum down, night, night." And I was like, really? really? You don't want a diaper for bedtime? "No thanks, bum down, night, night." And I'm like, okay. So I got one of those, and we had them at home. I got a pad that is, you know, would soak up the moisture if she peed. I said, "Okay, I'm going to put your potty right beside the bed." She was sleeping with us, co-sleeping, right beside the bed. "And if the pee is coming in the nighttime, you wake mama up and I'll help you get on the potty. No problem." Totally good. Okay. And so she's fine. Never had an accident.
Wow.
Like, holy cow. So I believe it's a combination between having cloth diapers so that she and I are both very aware of when the pee comes. Always coming into the bathroom with me when I was toileting myself and had her potty right there from very, very young age. And we did have it. Our bathroom was small. So I did have it in the main area of the house, like I say in the column. And if possible, have them without even underpants on, especially as the weather gets warmer, or if you're indoors in a warm house during the winter months. But weather warmer out of doors in the backyard is awesome time for toileting practice. And she would just run and sit on the potty whenever she felt the pee coming. And I did have to encourage her a little, but it was all driven by her initially.
Yeah. I think cloth diapers really help, because they feel that. And like you said, you know, and she knows when it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used nowadays you can get diaper covers. I used the time where we folded them and pinned them. That's
wow.
Folded and pinned. And then we had rubber pants that went over top.
Wow.
Yeah. We flew back east to see my in-laws family and her grandma and grandparents over there. And this 12-year-old cousin of hers came with me when I was changing the baby. She was 6 months old or something that time. And I got the diaper. Oh, I was folding the diaper. I brought cloth diapers traveling. I mean, you didn't need that many. You just, everybody had washers and dryers in their houses. It wasn't a big deal. And so I was folding the laundry and I was folding all these diapers. And this 12-year-old was like, what are those? I was like, right.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody use cloth diapers ever.
That's amazing to me. And actually a very sad commentary.
Yeah.
Since we're on the topic of diapers, look and find out how much waste there is. How much goes into the landfills for every baby who uses disposable diapers.
I can't imagine. But honestly, to me, using cloth diapers seems very intimidating. Like I don't know anything about
You don't even have to use pins anymore. That's all Velcro. It's so easy.
Yeah. I wish there was.
Okay.
Like...
Let's interview somebody about cloth diapering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds very interesting.
Oh, it's so good. And it's actually, you have a washer and dryer in your home.
Yeah,
Most people do.
Now I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people do. And if you don't, maybe your in-law lives down the street and they have one, like, you know, or your mom or dad lives down the street. So it's not that hard. It's in fact very easy. It's way more environmentally friendly, and we're getting off topic. So number one, I really encourage the inspiration for using a potty to come mostly from the child. If the potty is there, your daughter is well versed in what a potty is and what it's for. That's awesome. That's awesome. Some people just introduce the potty and expect it to happen right now. So that's not your situation. So that's helpful. I would really encourage you not to push it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's working for you to remind her every 20 to 30 minutes, that seems like a lot to me. Is that what is suggested? Did you read that somewhere or something?
No. And I mean, I just kind of see what she's doing and base it around that and just remind her when I think she might have to go.
Yeah.
Like if she doesn't go, then in 20 minutes, I'll ask.
Right. And what about the idea of putting the potty in the room where she's hanging out? Here's your potty.
Yeah. The only thing about that is if she's with other kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
she wants the privacy.
Yeah. But I've also thought she was ready because at some point, whenever she did go, she would say, mommy, Bobby's. And she would tell me that she did it in her diaper already.
Right. So her awareness is developing.
Yeah.
Her awareness is there. Yeah. And so just having a little bit of a conversation around, you know, when you can see that she's going pee or if she just went pee in her panties or whatever, you can say, oh, there must be that feeling inside your body. And you can show her in that lowest part of your abdomen where you get the sensation. For mommy, it feels like it's kind of a tight feeling. It feels full. It feels like it's going to come out. There's a few feelings that I get inside my body, sensations that tell me that the pee is getting ready to come. And I need to get myself to the toilet early when I feel those sensations, because even mommy sometimes has to really hurry to get there on time. And so the earlier we can recognize that sensation in our bodies, it's amazing. Because our bodies are telling us, hey, I need to go pee now. And it's just up to us to listen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard if you're playing and having so much fun, you don't want to stop. But it feels a lot, you lose a lot less playtime if you go run and do the potty instead of having to change the clothing and wipe up the pee and all the rest of that.
Right.
So you can have little bits of those conversations, not all at once, but give her that information at different times.
Yeah, I also think it's really important, like what you said, with not giving it a bad connotation, like stinky, ew.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then that could be shameful when they feel it coming. Or some kids I think they start holding in their poop and they get scared to have a movement.
Yep. So all that stuff, like right from the first diaper, tell them what you're doing to their bodies as you do it. I do that with everything with an infant. Mama's going to pick you up now. Come on, up you come. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to hold you right here on my shoulder. That is giving them the knowledge that someone else is doing something to their body. And we want them to learn about people doing things to our bodies and when it's okay and when it's not okay. Right. So that's all helping from the very beginning, body autonomy.
And I think that practice also helps with their vocabulary.
Totally. Yeah.
Giving words.
And, you know, it's funny, like as from an adult perspective, I just had a bunch of a big job done on, I had a root canal in my mouth. And I love when a dentist who's in the mouth doing things and, you know, and all this stuff's happening and you can't talk or ask them questions or say, what are you doing now?
Yes.
I love a dentist that will tell me step by step what they're going to do next.
Yes.
Or what they're doing now. And so I relate that. Or a doctor, if they're doing something to you or they want to do something to you, it's like the doctors that just come in and start doing, you know, okay, well, here we go. It's like, no, okay, you want to take my blood pressure? Then just tell me you're going to take my blood pressure, right? So it's the same kind of thing.
And then tell me what my blood pressure is, right?
Yes, exactly.
That is very true. That's a great comparison because I feel the same way.
Yeah. So that whole thing. So what I'm saying there is from the very first diaper, we are teaching our children and helping them to learn about their eventual toileting. And beyond that, associations with their sexual organs, which are in that range of their body parts, right?
Yeah.
So, but even just the toileting, I love that you brought up that piece about, ew, stinky, oh, gross. Like, you know, a lot of parents are so expressive negatively about changing diapers. It's not the most pleasant job in parenting. I grant you that. But exactly what you just said, why would they want to rush to tell us that the poo's coming after we've had 2 whole years of telling them how gross and stinky their poo is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, exactly. All the little details that make a difference.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I'm definitely going to take all of that into consideration while we have Andrea toileting.
Awesome. And one thing you could look at is saying, so let's just put the diapers back on in the daytime. And when you feel ready, that you know what the sensation in your body is, you can tell mama, let's do panties today. Panties today, mama, you know, and give her back some of the autonomy about making that decision.
Yeah.
If that sounds feels good. Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to all you parents on your toileting journeys or your kids' toileting journeys.
Yeah. And again, if you have any questions at all, if you try something and it doesn't seem to work or it seems to backfire, please let us know. And we'll gladly have a conversation about your question on our podcast.
Thank you.
Bye.
So thanks for joining us this week and listening to our conversation about toileting time. So here are the 4 gems I got out of this episode. 1, when you pose it as a question, you must respect the answer. So if you ask them, do you want to go to the potty? They might say no. And you have to be ready for that. So instead you can say, you can come sit on your potty while I sit on mine. So invite them. 2, give them the information they need to make the connection of having the sensation and that it's time to go to the bathroom. So if you see them doing the pee-pee dance, say, oh, it looks like you're doing the pee-pee dance, so let's go to the bathroom, and take them to the bathroom so they know when they're doing the dance, it's time to go. And 3, explain what you're doing to them when you're changing them. So this can start from day 1. like Amalisa said, when she goes to the dentist, she likes when the dentist explains what he's doing. Our kids should understand too, because we want to know what's happening to our bodies. So from day one, let them know the whole process as you're changing them. It helps build their awareness of their autonomy. And number four, they're going to be ready when they're ready. So save yourself the frustration and, you know, give them the tools they need, but also respect that they're on their own time. So when they're ready, they're ready. So good luck on your toileting journeys and let us know how it goes. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for being here with us in our virtual village. Hit subscribe so you're notified about our newest episodes each week.
And hey, did you get something from today's episode? I know I sure did. Be kind. Hit that share button and send it to your mama friends so they can benefit from it too.
Also, by leaving us a review, you'll be helping more parents out there to find answers to the questions that might be keeping them up at night.
We'd love you to follow us on Instagram and our Facebook page at The Village Parenting Pod.
And we'd love you to direct message us. Let us know your questions that we could address in future episodes and how we can serve you better.
This podcast is sponsored by the Singing Umma's private parent coaching and workshop offerings. We also now have a buy me a coffee option for a fun way that you could support this podcast. Link is in the show notes.